Let's get legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on a Saturday afternoon. And it's been one of the strangest 24 hours I can imagine having happened when at least pertains to international situations. What's happened in Russia in the last 24 hours is bizarre, and it keeps on getting weirder. You'd almost be forgiven from a Friday night into a Saturday morning. We have lives we lead, right? Maybe you went out last night, had a couple of drinks of wine, so you slept in a little later today. You took the dog for a walk, and in that time, there was an almost rebellion and insurrection against Vladimir Putin, and then seemingly in the last hour or two, a resolution, or at least a withdrawal. Here to make some sense of it is Professor Joel Ostro, who is a professor of comparative and international politics at Benedictine University. You hear him a lot with John Williams. Professor, thanks for hopping on with us here on a Saturday.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Is it as bizarre as I've explained it?
It's pretty bizarre. I think maybe the most important thing to know is so what this was not.
Okay.
It was not a civil war. It was not an attempted coup. It is not a rebellion or an insurrection. This is a guy, Prigozhin, who, by the way, his entire adult life has been a criminal. He served time in prison for violent crime and then came to amass a fortune in food catering, oddly enough, got close to Putin, and then for about the past decade or so has controlled this Wagner group at the behest of the Kremlin so that Putin could conduct a variety of military operations, mostly of the form of causing unrest and sowing division among erstwhile American allies, mostly in North Africa.
A mercenary who eventually then gets sent to Ukraine. And, I mean, Wagner Group wasn't even something that was publicly acknowledged until recently. And something happened that triggered him being very upset, right?
But was in the news quite a lot,
right,
for those who follow these things, and was very active in Syria in just the most brutal, murderous, just wanton disregard for human life way. And when the invasion of Ukraine started going south for the Russian military, Putin and arranged with Prigozhin to use his Wagner group there to try to right the ship, as it were, particularly in the most difficult areas of the Donetsk region. There was that long, drawn-out battle in Bakhmut that we heard about basically all winter, where the Wagner group was basically sacrificing those Russian prisoners as a way to inch forward, and then finally got control. And then once the Wagner group defeated, I don't like to talk about what happened in Bakhmut as victory or defeat, but once Russia had control of the Bakhmut area, Prigozhin announced Wagner was pulling out, leaving it to the Russian military to hold, with kind of a, and now we'll see what happens, and you will see how inept the Russian military is. Basically, that has been Prigozhin's argument from the beginning, that the Russian military has proven itself to be corrupt and rotten to the core from top to bottom. Ineptitude, inefficiency, and also attacked the military-industrial complex and the heads of it for graft and corruption and theft, which left the military unprepared, unstocked, under-equipped, and all of that has been borne out. He's been correct on all of that. What's different about Prigozhin is he has used his close relationship with Putin, presumably, to assume he had a shield to say and do whatever he wanted.
Right. Which no one else has that shield.
And he does not either, it turns out. So it was clear a few months ago that he overstepped his bounds, and I've been saying both to John Williams and really everywhere that sort of only in a half-joking or not really joking form that he better stay on the ground floor of buildings. He doesn't want to go high up in a high-rise, and probably the same for his family members as well. So what's happened now? He's withdrawn his troops to these field camps, you know, where they have their own bases. They're quasi-independent. They're independent of the military's hierarchical structures. And the advantage to Putin has been, to the Kremlin has been, they can deploy them as they want without having to go through the normal bureaucratic channels and tell them to do whatever they want without having to worry about international law or the Geneva Conventions, and thus pretend that they were acting on their own. Okay, so...
Yeah, walk us through the last 24 hours then. Like,
yeah,
if he had this shield and he felt like he could say or do anything, boy, that seems like quite an escalation to amass tens of thousands of your mercenaries and bring them back into Russia and seemingly be marching on the way towards the capital.
So what happened a few months ago was his steady supply of arms and munitions stalled because the Russian military couldn't provide them anymore, or also because the military doesn't like these guys, right? They operate without outside of the normal chains of command, use their own strategies and tactics, and often put the Russian military in harm's way through their actions. And then what he started doing was, instead of leveling general critiques of inefficiency, which Putin was fine with, he started naming names, particularly Putin's closest commanders in this war, the Minister of Defense, Viktor Shoigu, and the head of the war operation in Ukraine, Gerasimov. And he named them by names and called them out. That essentially destroyed his cover. But they were still fighting in Bakhmut. Once they pulled back, it seems clear to me, my hypothesis is, he realized he has no home and he has nowhere to go. And that also told him he's got nothing to lose. And so he chose to choose his own form of death rather than waiting for it to come to him.
Wait, so you're saying that after he was done in Bakhmut, that he was maybe already a wanted man for his previous criticisms and felt like he had to make some move to put some pressure on Putin to try and eventually guarantee some sort of safety or deal?
100%. And this is widely known to the Russian journalist community in exile that still maintain sources that are quite reliable. There were orders out to get Prigozhin, whether that was to kill or to arrest, who knows, but it all kind of amounts to the same thing with that kind of behavior in Russia. But he's a wily and cagey guy, and I've been refreshing my screen, John, for like the last half hour, and let me do it again.
Last 48 hours, or 24 hours, you mean?
There's no update. No, literally in the last half hour. So it has been reported that Belarusian President Lukashenko negotiated this resolution whereby the Wagner, Prigozhin turned his Wagner Group forces around to go back to their bases. I think we're going to find out more publicly very soon that Lukashenko, in fact, did not negotiate this and indeed didn't have the authority to, that it is a governor of... Oh, crud, what is the governor of?
I don't know how you memorize all these. Hey, we got to take a pause anyways,
yeah.
Professor. So
okay,
you get
I'll
that information.
In a second,
yeah.
So I'll be able to tell you what actually happened.
Before we take the break, I just want to make sure I understand this. So this is a mercenary group that has been hired by Russia. They've done a lot of nasty things in many different continents. The latest of their endeavors was in Ukraine, in Bakhmut, where they were able to gain control. They were essentially then left with nothing to do. This guy who knows Putin, who has been outspoken about not getting enough, knew that the writing was on the wall, at least as you say. So in order to protect himself, maybe, or a last-ditch effort to try and gain some leverage, he got his mercenaries all fired up, marched back into Russia, started kind of taking control of cities to the south of Moscow in order to, what you say, is broker a deal, which may have happened. Did I sum that up okay?
You got it.
All right,
yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll find out where we stand in all of this. Next on Let's Get Legal.
We're Chicago's very own WGN.
Shop, dine, live, work, and play at the Glenn Town Center. New businesses, special events, there's always a reason to shop and dine at the Glenn Town Center. Find strolling entertainment Fridays beginning July 6th, 5 to 9 p.m. Jugglers, magicians, balloon artists, and more. And if you're looking for a beautiful new place to call home, check out Aloft Apartments at the Glenn Town Center. Known for its elegant and cosmopolitan feel, they offer expansive floor plans, gourmet kitchens, and sophisticated color schemes. Learn more at theglenntowncenter.com.
At University of Chicago Medicine Advent Health, your emergency is our emergency. If you or a loved one is injured or experiencing chest pain, stroke symptoms, severe stomach pain, or something doesn't feel quite right, don't hesitate. If you're in doubt, come in and let us check it out. You'll find expert emergency physicians standing by to help you at one of four University of Chicago Medicine Advent Health ERs. To find the ER nearest you in the western suburbs, visit ChicagolandERExperts.com.
A celebrity cruise is like a luxury resort at sea. With 15 award-winning ships sailing to over 300 destinations, there are still plenty of options to sail with celebrity this year. Kelly Cruises and Tours has secured incredible pricing deals from celebrity. For example, don't miss an October 7-night trip from Barcelona to Rome from $22.99 per person for a veranda stateroom. Call their expert travel advisors today to plan your perfect getaway. Call 630-990-1111. 630-990-1111.
Residents in Illinois should know that warmer weather brings an increased risk of storms and flooding. Having a flood insurance policy is the best way to protect the life you've built. Don't wait until it's too late to secure flood insurance, as policies typically take 30 days to go into effect. Visit floodsmart.gov or contact your local insurance agent to learn more about flood insurance.
Hey, Michael Piff.
Hey, Kevin Powell.
So, I was just thinking about our Chicago's Very Own Eats podcast Pizza Madness tournament last March when our listeners chose Chicago's best pizza place.
I remember it well.
Well, how about we put together a new bracket this summer for, wait for it,
Italian beef sandwiches?
I said wait for it, Mike.
Sorry, Kevin. Great minds. And did you know the Italian beef sandwich made its first appearance during the early 1900s in Chicago? Italian immigrants slow-roasted cuts of beef in a spicy broth, which they thinly sliced and piled onto the perfect bread.
Mmm, like Toronto's French bread.
Exactly like Toronto's French bread.
Okay, so we're calling it?
You bet.
Vote for your favorite Italian beef sandwich at WGNRadio.com. The WGN Radio Chicago's Best Beef Tournament is sponsored by Toronto Baking Company, Chicago's Bread. Ordered wet, dipped, or dry, it's gotta be on Toronto bread. Vote again July 18th.
I guess you could have said best hot dogs.
Dude, that was my next suggestion.
Let's get legal here on WGN. Continuing our conversation with Dr. Joel Ostro, the professor from Benedictine University of Comparative and International Politics. Just the person we needed to talk to today. Okay, so in the last 24 hours, essentially, this mercenary group's leader has called out Putin, right, has brought mercenaries into the country and was seemingly storming towards Moscow. Putin called him a traitor, essentially, in the overnight hours here in the United States. These two cannot just, what, shake hands and part? Where does this go from here?
Well, I mean, Prigozhin's days are probably numbered no matter what happens, but he's trying to save himself. So what seems to have happened over the last couple hours is that the governor of the Tula region of Russia, Alexei Dumin, himself a former deputy defense minister, he's a guy who set up the drone training camps that for soldiers for use in Ukraine. That was back in January. Very close, and some saw as someone that Putin was grooming as a successor, is the one who was tapped to broker some kind of solution with Prigozhin, and maybe as a way to try to hide that, Lukashenko was used as a foil, which he's the president of Belarus, which he's always quite willing to do, maybe to try to hide this fact from the public. So basically what Lukashenko's role is some kind of guarantor of the deal. So the deal is that the charges of treason, insurrection, basically all criminal charges against Prigozhin will be dropped, and that all Wagner forces will be granted immunity. If this is indeed the case, sometime tomorrow or Monday, we'll see the Russian State Duma pass a law to that effect. And Lukashenko's involvement suggests to me that maybe Prigozhin or some others will be granted some kind of immunity or safe harbor in Belarus. But if I were him, and he's not a stupid man, criminal and brutal though he is, I wouldn't necessarily feel safe in Belarus, because Belarus is a puppet state. It really doesn't have full sovereignty. Russia very much controls things there. And so I don't know how much, but perhaps he could use that as a springboard to try to get somewhere else, whether that would be, who knows, Turkey or somewhere else. But he's going to be a hunted man, no matter what agreement is struck. You know, the Russians who do the kinds of things, and particularly say the kinds of things that Prigozhin has, that their days tend to be numbered.
Okay, so while the rest of us were watching over the last 24 hours, tweeting out that this could be the end for Putin, this could be a coup, they're going to march on Moscow, were you sitting there the whole time realizing that this was probably the most likely outcome?
Either that or that they would just blow them up and kill them. There's no way they were getting past the outer ring in Moscow. They simply lack the numbers to be able to do that. So to give you an idea, their first move was in a city called Rostov-on-Don, which is about maybe equal distance from Moscow as Atlanta is from Washington. What's significant about Rostov is it's a main military headquarters in the south that is the main staging ground, strategic organizing headquarters for military leadership and logistical organization for the war in Ukraine. They rolled into there pretty easily and seems to have encircled the military headquarters, if not outright taken it over, and then started moving up the highway called the M4 and got about 250 miles away, so maybe equal to the distance of about Raleigh, North Carolina, to D.C., a city called Voronezh, where there's another large military installation, munitions, bases, and the like. It was at that point that the negotiations concluded and his forces seemed to have turned around. And I put the seem to have because I have yet to see the United States or the West give satellite verification of this, but it does seem to be the case because everyone's reporting that they have.
Okay.
But they're still saying that Prigozhin says he turned around.
Okay.
So I don't know that there's been visual confirmation.
Okay, so this has been kind of an effort of Prigozhin to settle a score or to, you know, show teeth to Putin or try and save his own hide, whatever it may be. But is this perhaps a sign of broader dissent amongst Russians or Russian military, or is this simply this is one guy who was saving his hide? He had 10,000 or tens of thousands of people that kind of had his back, but it doesn't necessarily reflect on a broader dissent campaign against Putin and Russia.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't see Prigozhin feeling like he's dissenting with Putin. I think Prigozhin believes that it is clear, it is obvious, it's incontrovertible by the evidence that the Russian military is inefficient, corrupt, and that the whole procurement process for military goods has been sabotaged by those at the top. And those people remain in power. The Minister of Defense remains in power. He oversaw and had a responsibility for all that. And then Gerasimov, who's running the war in Ukraine, was the strategic architect of the catastrophic failed initial invasion. And so Prigozhin is, frankly, rightly critical of all of that and is beside himself that heads haven't rolled.
But do you see it as sort of a domino of potential dissent from other folks, or is this isolated?
I think from where we sit, John, the most hopeful bit is that this has burst out into the public. Everyone knows about this. Putin made a speech proclaiming that a rebellion was in operation led by Prigozhin and that they were going to attack him. So everybody knows that this has been going on, which means there's a little nugget of ability for people to question with, okay, what's really happening then in Ukraine? What's really happening with our government? Will there be a lot of that? I don't know. But these kinds of divisions shake Russia most only to the extent that the public shifts in its perception of the competence and control of the dictator and the ability of the dictatorship to effectively govern the country. And the more that the lie of that gets exposed, the less stable the government becomes. I don't see any kind of evidence that there is internal splits within the Kremlin or the upper Russian leadership, and I don't think that that's where change would be coming from anyway. Certainly not change in the direction that any of us would hope for.
Did this event move it closer to more likely, less likely, or the same that Putin's days are numbered as the Russian leader?
Yeah, unchanged.
Unchanged.
I see it unchanged. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Professor. Thanks for breaking this down. I know we all want to know what this
one
means for Ukraine.
Point,
go ahead. Yeah.
If I can, 20 seconds.
Go.
Ukraine, by the most recent reports, has launched multiple attacks in the east and the south, coincidental with all of this, maybe hoping to exploit distraction within the Russian military. We will probably not know until morning how widespread those are or what kind of success they have, but it appears that there has been a substantial uptick in Ukrainian attacks.
And that's where we see it now, Professor Ostro, but this still could, it's a fluid situation, right?
For sure. It's very fluid, yeah.
All right, well, I'm sure you'll update John Williams and the rest of our listeners on it soon. Thanks for joining us.
Be well. Thanks so much for having me.